In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Men's T Clinic in support of Men's Health Awareness Month. That's what we are right inside of November right here. And we're at the Frisco location. It's Eldorado in the Toll. How about a $25 T-test that can get you set up with that? 972-GO-MEN'S-T. They have all sorts of great giveaways. Existing patient offers, including preferred pricing for all regenerative therapy offerings to get you moving again in the gym, the bedroom, without surgery, without downtime or medication. They have all the good stuff here at Men's T Clinic, and you should give them a call, 972-GO-MEN'S-T. Lock in your appointment. Get that $25 T-test now while you can. Cowboys news of the evening's coming up here in about 20 minutes. It's time here for Woolchuck and his NFL news of the day.
Well, the Cowboys now are the only American pro sports team without a home win in 2024. Every other team in the NBA, of course, Major League Baseball season's over, NHL, Major League Soccer, and in the NFL all have a win at home this year. The Cowboys 0-5 at AT&T Stadium.
They went 16 straight at one time.
16 in a row. Yeah, 16 in a row, and now it's just like you get the doors blown off you as soon as you take the field.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It really, really is. But shout out to Terp, Kevontae Turpin, and fastest ball carrier of 2024 on his touchdown going 64 yards yesterday. And it is crazy.
How fast was it?
22.36 miles per hour. Is what he generated. So that was the fastest.
Boot, scoot,
of the season.
Boogie.
Yeah, he's been. It was something Brian and I were talking about in the post game. It's just it's shocking how you have success with that, and then afterwards they targeted him maybe one time the rest of the game. It's just what are you doing? Like you're looking for anybody else to step up and make a play. You just lost Jake Ferguson early to a concussion. You're going to your tight ends, but can you get anything down the field? Houston daring you to throw the football down the field. One of your speedsters you neglect. You just decide, hey, we're not going to get him involved. It was just so head scratching there with what the Cowboys decided to do.
What kind of route is that, Brian, that he ran on that touchdown? It looked like a basketball crossover.
It's like a slant.
Slant.
Yeah, it was a slant. What happened was when they were playing cover two, so they had two safeties in the middle, and at the snap, they tried to take like a potential crosser away, so it went like single high. And so they drove the right safety down, and then the other safety overlapped, so they were kind of trying to play the crosser underneath. And what happened is the route ran right between the down safety. Like Turpin basically replaced the down safety, and protection was great. Got him the ball right there on the move. The Texans were playing off the ball, and so he won right off the line. And then his ability to get inside the way he did and finish.
Yeah.
It was a well designed play from the aspect of they got him in the right coverage where they went from cover two to cover one.
Well, right it was wild because Seth Walder put out that was just the second slant that he's run all year.
Yeah.
For a team that loves their slants, just the second time they've had Turpin.
His lack of height probably is a reason why they don't do that.
I get it.
And he doesn't always play the contested ball that well. So slants, when you deal with size and then you also play contested ball, that could be a little bit of a problem running slants.
Well, Dalton Schultz decided to troll his former team after they got.
You see
the
what
win.
The Texans did with their troll?
Oh, with the roof.
Falling pieces of. They formed an L. The sheet metal. They formed an L coming out of the top of the stadium.
Well, Schultz revealed a message. He poured milk into two mugs of coffee. And you know, some of these mugs, like once you fill them up, you can. They'll say something. And it said the Houston Texans are on one mug. And the other mug said the best team in Texas. And then he just sipped out of the best team in Texas.
That's fine. You're still not that freaking good, guys. I mean, enjoy it.
Like, if you're a Houston Texan fan,
it was nearly a one-score game late third quarter.
Yeah. You're not feeling great. about where you are. You know, you're playing around with a team that might be playing the worst in the NFL right now.
And the best team in Texas, you take the role of out at division around at the farthest.
Somebody said this is I forgot who I was talking to, but somebody said this is typical Houston Texans. Win the division, get that first game on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, that first playoff game, and then find a way to
Cody Stutes who jumped on with us.
That's right. Yeah, Stutes is typical.
Yep.
Come in, you know, playing that very first game, and then, you know, next thing you know, you get bounced out of the playoffs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The big story right now in Cowboys world is what Michael Irvin was saying on Fox Sports 1. Now, he was hanging out with Jerry at the fight on Friday, which was also very awkward for Mike McCarthy because he's sitting there talking to Jerry on the Jumbotron. I mean, and he's discussing the next coach. Mike McCarthy was there at the fight, and there's videos of him, like, awkwardly walking off. But, you know, I mean, that he's kind of – he was a lame duck coach for
Mike knows what the situation is. I don't think – there's no surprises anymore for Mike.
So, you know, he said then Saturday's hanging out with Deion Sanders. Sunday, he's basically just praying to the Lord. And today he goes on Speak on FS1, and he's talking with Colin Cowherd, and he says that 100% I can tell you that Michael Irvin – saying Deion would accept the Cowboys' job if they draft Shador Sanders. He said, 100%, I can tell you that. Good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. I mean, could this just be clickbait? It's very possible. But when the playmaker says this, I mean, he's just been hanging out with Prime on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think many people would turn down the job. I mean, why would you turn it down? Let me see here. I get to coach my son with the Cowboys and take my shot at this. I'm not surprised. You would take the job. I think, you know, the news would be as I talk to Jerry, he's ready to offer the job to Deion. That's
a report.
That
would be the news. Mm. Will the Cowboys pay Sanders as much as he's making at Colorado, which is near $6 million?
Well, I guess it depends on, like, where – like the slot, the draft slot?
No. Deion Sanders to be the coach.
Oh, Prime?
Yeah.
I would say no. I don't – I mean, do you think so? It seems like Jerry doesn't really want to pay these coaches that much.
I don't think he really does, no. I don't think he does at all. And so I wonder about – you know, and let's be honest, too. We'll see. I mean, I haven't looked at quarterbacks. I looked at 20 players, but kind of put the quarterbacks on back burner a little bit to get some more film in, you know, and – but – I mean, watching Hunter play, I mean, he throws a really pretty ball.
He does.
And he's mobile.
Nice touch.
He's tough.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot of things that you're really going to like about this guy. Just there's so many teams ahead of you that need quarterbacks right now. If you can, even being in the top five, there might be teams ahead of you that, you know, would take a Shador Sanders before you even got the opportunity to pick.
It would just be a crazy situation because then you have Dak, you've just made the highest paid player in NFL history. Granted, he's now coming off of an injury, and I think there's massive question marks on where he is now with his career physically, and he wasn't playing very well. So it's a terrible state to be in as a Cowboy fan where it's like, I'd love to be excited, okay, my quarterback's out for the year, but I'm getting him back next year. I don't even feel that way about Dak right now. I don't really know where he is. I mean, he was just an MVP runner-up, but the football that we saw Dak Prescott play this year was not very good.
The coach that gets if they hire a new coach at the end of the season – that coach is going to have to convince Jerry and Steven and Will that they can work with Dak Prescott. I don't see them. You know, if they get a top five pick, I don't think they're going to select a quarterback. I really don't.
Either.
But they could take a lot of other positions. They could still help their team in a lot of different ways.
If they did it, it would be like Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless the coach came in and said, listen, you know, you're going to sign me to a five-year deal here. You know, the first 2 years, I'll see if I can make it work with Dak. If you want to draft a quarterback, and after 2 years and it doesn't work, and we got a guy in place, you know, now it doesn't give you much of a window. I mean, you've got 5 years basically, you know, with the fifth year option.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to probably burn 2 years of seeing if Dak can, you know, Dak can do what, you know, what this new coach thinks he can do. But if that's not the case, I mean, you might have a situation where, you know, that coach says, you know, I don't – but the new coach is going to be the one, in my opinion, that is going to convince Jerry and them that he can do something with Dak. So that's where I think it's going to be.
There's no way out of the Dak deal, right?
Not right now, there isn't.
Unless he signs off on a team to trade.
Yeah.
Well, if you drafted somebody, he would. You know, you're like, okay, your career's done. Unless you want to give us the ability to trade you, I guess you're just not going to play again. And he'd be like, oh, man, this sucks, but you got me finally.
I think they'd still be getting a lot of money. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be similar probably like the Broncos just moving on from Russell Wilson. You know, you're just like, hey.
I would love to know who or what group convinced. It seemed like to me the Cowboys were going down that path of letting this thing ride, and something flipped. I'd like to know when that moment was. Did Jerry say, no, man, we need to let this ride? And Steven said, Dad, we can't. We need, you know, remember those early 2000s when we didn't have a quarterback? You know, this guy, I mean, come on. Do we really want to do this, Dad? Do we really want to do this? Do we really want to play without a quarterback?
They were close, man.
I was convinced that they were going to let this thing ride.
All they had to do was think, we got to cross this bridge eventually. It's now or 4 years from now.
Sure.
You know, and now's the perfect time because the rest of our roster is deteriorating. That's, you know, the double-edged sword of Jerry not realizing they weren't good.
The way that it played out.
If they would have known that, you know, everything that they, when they do the autopsy on this at the end of the year, there's not going to be just one thing. There's going to be like six things that they got wrong about their roster. And a lot of people, I mean, I still am trying to figure out how a team goes from 12-5 second overall seed to being a top five drafting.
Look at all the players they lost.
Yeah. Is it the players? Is it the coaches? Is it, you know, is it injuries? Is it, you know.
I think the schedule had a lot to do with it, too.
Sure.
And changed defensive scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of it.
Losing Dan Quinn, that might have been a big part of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you got change going on with the Jets, as today Joe Douglas was fired as the general manager
back in Philadelphia
with the Jets. Yeah, probably. Yeah. 5 years there, he had a 30-64 record.
It's awful.
So they moved on from Robert Saleh at head coach, now Joe Douglas, and Rich Samini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, is now saying that Aaron Rodgers will not be back next year. Because whoever they now bring in as the general manager and the coach probably wants to go ahead and work on finding their own quarterback.
I totally agree with that. Yep. Totally agree with that.
I thought going all in for Devontae Adams meant that Rodgers would be back because you just would not do that if you were a rebuilding team.
I agree.
Interesting.
But it's interesting because the Cowboys seem like they're kind of now having to be in rebuild mode. But they just paid the quarterback. They paid the running back. They're about to pay the edge rusher who had one tackle yesterday and then didn't want to talk to the media afterwards.
Yeah.
He did end up having the pressures, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I noticed that. Like he was definitely impacting the football game. And I'm sure we'll hear Mike a little bit later on when he does the Edge, the Bleacher Report show.
Because he doesn't talk to the media anymore.
No,
he
was ticked off with what happened last week.
Sure.
With the way that things kind of got spun. In his opinion, you know, they took his words and kind of spun it out of proportion there.
It's not what happened, Michael.
Yeah, not really. Lions are making NFL history. Third team in 83 years to pull off this scoring feat as they beat the Jags 52-6. They actually trailed 3-0 to start the game. And based on NFL history, it's almost unprecedented for a team to win by at least 46 points in a game where they were trailing at any point. As a matter of fact, third time since 1941 that a team has pulled that off. So very rare in NFL history for Detroit. The previous times, it's Green Bay Packers in 05 and the Packers in 1941. They did it both times. So all NFC North teams owning this record right here. More bad news for San Francisco as you've got an oblique injury for Nick Bosa. So he left against Seattle. They're expecting
him. Quarterback's hurt
too,
right?
Yeah, he's
got
a shoulder.
Yep.
So things aren't looking good for the San Francisco 49ers. Shout out to Will Chambers. He called the regression year.
He did.
For San Francisco. And he's looking to be on that one. Brock Bowers, first rookie to have 70 catches through week 11 in NFL history. He passed Puka Nacua, who had 69 at this point last year. Mm. Jalen Waddle had 68. How about Barkley in his rookie year with the Giants? Had 64 catches through 10 games. But now Brock Bowers with the
crazy
80s. And he's doing it with bad quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew.
They're running their whole offense through their tight end.
Yeah.
You know, it's
kinda wild.
Yeah, good for them.
It's wild. It really, really is. Netflix better get ready. Beyonce's going to headline that halftime show of Texans-Ravens on Christmas Day.
I don't think they're ready.
I don't think so.
I don't think they are either. This is about to be – the NFL is about to say, listen, Netflix, you need to go somewhere else with your streaming ideas.
Do you think it might – the game might be going fine, and then all of a sudden halftime rolls around, and you've got now an excess of people that are flooding to watch Beyonce, and then it just craps out at halftime, and we're like, what the hell is going on?
That's the definition of too bootylicious for you, babe.
Damn right.
Remember, she shut down the Super Bowl, too. Remember that situation? Yeah, they had to go get generators back on. Like, damn.
Yeah. Whole comeback.
Damn pacemaker sometimes.
Chiefs Bills.
Walks across the street.
Chiefs Bills.
Me, myself, and I video. That one right there.
Me, myself.
Boy, I get along with that one.
31.2 million viewers on CBS for Chiefs Bills. Most watched game on CBS since 2007, which was Patriots and Colts. That is incredible. I think this is the new Pats Colts. I think Josh Allen and Mahomes, Bills and Chiefs, that's kind of become the new Manning and Brady, where they're going to play every single year. Burrow had a chance to be in there with the Bengals. Unfortunately, his defense is so damn bad. I mean, the dude's out here putting MVP numbers up. Like, you look at the numbers that he's got through this time, the other three quarterbacks in NFL history, I think it's like Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady. They all ended up going 13-3 or 14-2, winning the MVP. That's the numbers that Burrow's putting up, but his team's probably going to miss the playoffs right now. There's your NFL News of the Day.
Thank you, Wolchuk. NFL News of the Day, most every afternoon, 3 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. All righty, when we come back, speaking of Cowboys, it's time for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening. What did fans have on their heads last night? What did Jerry think about it? Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We're live at Men's Tea Clinic here in Frisco. It's El Dorado and the Toll, basically. Would love to see you swing on by. Visit Men's Tea Clinic or call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA, and you got some great offers coming to you here. It's a Takeover Tolo Tuesday here with all five DFW Men's Tea Clinic locations as they're celebrating Men's Health Awareness Month. Men'sTeaClinic.com. How about a $25 tea test? Can I get your baseline, get a plan. Complimentary pure B12 injections. They have in-body composition analysis. Wolchuk and I are sitting here filling out a little questionnaire. They're going to get a little metabolic boost, I think, little weight loss. A boost here going on, a little energy so we can fly across the finish line and destroy Broadus, Chiafalo, and Alexander in our first annual GBAC Nation weight loss competition. So we're excited, and we'd love to see you here. You know, testosterone replacement therapy is life-changing. That's how Artolos describe it anyway. Segment of the Fan brought to you by Soda. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And we got some Jerry Jones audio here. I thought they were once again some fantastic questions. As all season long, Sean and RJ have been bringing the heat. But ever since that Jerry blow up, the questions have been even more precise and laser guided. On the empty seats and the fans with the bags on their head, Jerry, what do you think?
I've seen that I've seen it with most teams. And I think that certainly our fans are avid. They wouldn't be out there if they weren't avid. And I'm disappointed that we're bringing the team that we are to the field, and we've got to improve on that. That's not acceptable. Over the last, you've heard me say this, but it's factual. Since the Super Bowl years that on a personal basis I was involved in, since those years, counting about 30 years or 25 years, we've been the sixth winningest team in the NFL. In the last 15 years, we're the fifth winningest team in the NFL. We haven't been to the championship playoff game. We haven't been to a Super Bowl, but we've been around that rim. And we've been up there with the best of them. We've had the whole gambit of experiences with our coaches, coaching staff, and sometimes it has worked. Sometimes it didn't work as well as we'd hoped for it to. Rest assured, we'll be figuring out ways to look for what we're doing wrong and improve on that.
I mean, they think you're spoiled. You know, in the first 15 years, we had the sixth winningest team. In the last 15 years, we've actually been better. We're better than those three championship years. Wolchuk, I can't believe you don't appreciate that more.
I know. It's just amazing. They're just around the rim. They're really, really close. But, hey.
Keep getting unlucky.
You're just, you know, we're not making conference championship games or Super Bowls, but we're right there. We're winning a ton of regular season games, and that's really what counts.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what a paper bag means, you know, to everybody, but to me, it like symbolizes shame and loss of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, it's never easy to see. It was, you know, never easy to see the number of Houston fans that were in that stadium last night. If you're a Cowboy fan, you know, and every Texan play that was big, I mean, you heard that crowd, and that's hard. You know, the Cowboys are usually the ones, the road team for the Cowboys, I mean, that goes out there. Those fans that go to those away stadiums do a great job of making you feel how I felt like last night watching the Texans. But, yeah, it's, you know, when you wear that bag, I think of the bag. The first time I think I ever saw the bag was at the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I was at school. And then Jim Moore came along, and they got better, and those bags went away. And I – you know, but that was the first time, and so you're hiding. You're like, here, I'm here, but I'm, you know, I'm not letting you see my face because I don't want you to see my face. You know, and yeah. Those kinds of things, they don't do your psyche very well to see that working in a front office. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to see the fans that you know they're there and they're kind of turning on you. That way. And so that's the unfortunate thing with those.
It can take a while. You know, in the mid 80s, right before Jerry was buying the team, what did it take? 4 or 5 years to get the thing turned around?
Yeah, it's very similar to what the New England Patriots went through with Bill Belichick. Very similar of the last 4 years of Tom Landry, they didn't draft very well. There was a lot of misses and a lot of gambles and and people started blaming Tom, and Tom ran the whole operation. Him, you know, Tex Schramm was really the general manager, but Tom was the main guy in the whole operation. Belichick, the same way. They started drafting poorly. They started losing games, and then they lose their job. Very similar careers for two legendary coaches the way that they ended. But, yeah, there was probably a 3-4 year run where – it was, you could start to see the end of the Tom Landry administration because of the draft, you know, and because of the roster building was not where it needed to be.
I can see an end coming too. It's a different kind of end, but an end of the belief, you know, for this fan base, and an end of being on that doorstep of thinking we're right around the rim, in Jerry's words. And if that shifts the fan experience from we're close to, man, we're not even getting to the playoffs anymore. Because I think that's the kind of roster that we're looking at now for the foreseeable future, until you go on a run of drafting players again that can build up your trenches, give you a good offensive line, multiple good weapons, and still a somewhat solid defense. I mean, we're a lot of players away from that at this point. I think you're multiple off seasons.
You know, there's so many platforms that I'm on, I feel guilty in a way.
For what?
I feel guilty for talking about the Cowboys in a way of some positivity with their roster.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to training camp, or I go watch a practice, or I go watch a game, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this could work, or this could work. And, you know, in actuality, me did not talk about this roster with the possibility that it was going to be really bad. Never went to that. And I think there's a lot of people out there that listen to things that I say.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, man, well, Broadus thinks, you know, he was a former scout. He, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I get that. I mean, I've been doing media a long time now. I haven't been in scouting for a long time. You know, trained in it, see things. But my positivity were things that I would have sat there if I was with the Cowboys. And I think I would have been positive about things. I would have said some of the same, or would have believed some of the same things. But we have this platform now to talk about them in a way that gives the fan base hope. And you're like, well, man, you told us this guy could play. you told us this guy could play.
I think the line between like below average and good is so thin, it's hard to tell in Oxnard. I think you were accurate in portraying that there were some good things happening with Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But it's very difficult to tell in that environment how different that is from what Tyron Smith and Biotish were able to do.
Yeah.
You know, and how much worse Zach Martin had fallen off. The difference of their runners to Tony Pollard. Like, Tony Pollard was a much better running back than anybody on this team. And, like, it happened so incrementally, Brian, just bit by bit, that it was hard to tell, you know, everything that this team had lost by the time it was said and done.
I just can't get over how wrong I was about the line, which is, I think, the biggest problem of this football team is the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, the you'd say about the Zach Martin and all that, but that if you look at what the difference between what was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
2000, I mean, when they were 12-5, the line was this. Right now, the line is this. The line is nowhere as good as what it was.
It'll cause you to miss open receivers constantly.
Well, that's what I think, but then you're talking about missing open receivers. How about receivers getting open?
Yeah.
How about somebody like, you know, with Lamb? But where else, you know, when you and Isaac were talking about last night in the halftime show, somebody else has got to make a play. Somebody else has got to step up.
They don't have anybody.
They don't have anybody like that.
And there was no way that we would have known that, like, last year's version of Michael Gallup was actually significantly better than what we got now.
As bad as we thought Michael Gallup was, it's actually, you know, and I know that maybe Tolbert's got better numbers right now as far as, but it doesn't feel like that Tolbert has taken that jump.
A lot of those hopes just didn't end up being fulfilled.
You know, Cook's
there have
getting
been
hurt.
So many empty yards. I mean, Rush throws for 350 last night, for crying out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jake Ferguson, 50 something times last night with Cooper Rush, you're going to lose a football.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys you were hoping to take a step, and none of them did.
Yeah, to me, the linebacking core, when you look at, you're thinking, oh, they got a good group of young linebackers and all. We've seen overshown. And, you know, we get to talk to Kendricks every week. Kendricks is going to lead the team in tackles every week because he's got instincts. But there's times where Kendricks is not in position to make a play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's things that you honestly thought were going to be better, and they just weren't. And it's not just one position. It's like five or six of their positions. I don't know what position they have that they can hang their hat on and say, We're really good at this position.
At least in 11, 12, and 13, you had Romo, who could play with blinding pressure, and you had Dez, Witten, Beasley, Terrence Williams coming through, and they were able to stay around 500 all year.
Right.
Now you're going into a rebuild where it looks like you're going to be about a 5-7 win football team for the foreseeable future, and that might take place over a 3-year period. If you're getting bags last night on heads, what could this thing look like in 2 or 3 years? And I think for people who have been desperate for some kind of change, something different, you know, maybe that's the time. It was after the mid and early 2000s run that you go to Parcells because the fan base had lost so much faith. You had to get him to get approval for the stadium.
You absolutely had to have him for the stadium, but you had to give the fan base some hope that you weren't going to run Dave Campo out there anymore, and you weren't going to run Butch Davis or Dave Wanstead or
Chan Gailey
or Norv Turner. You had to go get somebody legitimately that was a Hall of Fame coach. And this is what makes me wonder about now with Bill Belichick being out there.
Yeah.
You know, is this Jerry's now play to, like, okay, I'm a football guy, I'm the general manager, but can this guy bring the things that I need? You know, can he and I work together? Like, Jerry and Parcells worked together actually very well. Steven was a great bridge for that to happen. You know, there's some things that Jerry did, like the TO stuff and all that, that Bill didn't want to do. But Bill is really smart because he knew what battles to fight and what ones not to fight.
But Bill just showed you, if you don't give him a really good roster, his magic isn't going to work.
Right.
You know, he needs a great quarterback, and, you know, I think a great offensive coaching staff as well.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the Joneses right now, I'm looking at Bill like, if we have a Super Bowl ready roster, I want Belichick. If not, we need a developmental type of coach. You know, we need a guy who can, you know, help us build this roster here over the next, hopefully,
see,
just two
this,
or three years.
This is where, honestly, it's going to sound nuts. I think this is where Jason Witten actually has a chance.
Yeah. I think Witten and Deion, too.
Yeah, it's about, you know, it's about the leaders of men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about those guys.
Building a culture.
Yeah, we're gonna have a bunch of young players. We're gonna have a mix.
Secrets in the dirt.
Yeah. It's gonna be, and it might not be pretty, but if everybody just hangs together.
Yep.
You know, that's what happened in Detroit.
Yeah.
Remember, they started off. They kept losing games, like they'd lose on a field goal, or they, you know, something would happen.
Yeah, you had and to change they, the losing culture.
You had
and
to
the fan base.
Yeah.
The fan base will cheer for that if
right.
they see momentum
right.
and morale.
But
and
you
got to
be honest
and,
with the fan base. You
yes.
got to tell them that
but they're
hey,
not.
No, they won't. You're
they're,
right.
They're
but
not you, honest.
But that's where I would say I would if I was advising Jerry, I would say, hey, listen, boss. You know, we need to talk about this team in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We are one of the most popular teams in the world, regardless of the sport. We could always be that. Let's be honest with this fan base.
Yeah.
We are not as good as we think we are.
Expectations are the beginning of suffering, and
yeah.
we need to scale the expectations away so our fan base can get a damn breather.
Yeah.
Visit menstclinic.com, call 972-GO-MENS-TEA, reserve this special offer, $25 tea test for all patients. It's a great day here at Tolo Men's Tea Clinic Takeover in support of Men's Health Awareness Month. That's what we're looking at right here inside the month of November. Again, 972-GO-MENS-TEA, menstclinic.com. Krusty's Corner is coming up next. I know that the Mike McCarthy press conference is hanging in the balance,
yeah.
Brian, but where are you taking us next?
Yeah, I had a chance to sit down and watch the tape. I'll walk you through some of the plays that I saw yesterday. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the GBAC Nation. We are live here at Men's Tea Clinic in Frisco. As a part of the dang old Men's Health Awareness Month, your total wellness optimization authority is Men's Tea Clinic. And it's a Men's Tea Clinic takeover day here. You had the KMC Masterpiece here, 10 to 2, and now us all the way until 7 o'clock, bring in $25 tea tests for all patients. Get your baseline, get a plan at menstclinic.com. Here's Brian with Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Brian.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and thank you to Reliant for being on board with us. I know we're kind of on hold here for Mike McCarthy's press conference, so I'll try and get through as many of these as I can until Mike talks. Can I start with the fake punt, guys, as part of the film, what I was watching this morning? You know, I, this is one you just got to give. I think you got to give the Texans credit. They fooled Bones Fossil on this the way they lined up. They gave him an 8-man look like they were going to go after the punter, and they actually left the middle of the defense open. So they put 4 on one side, 4 on the other, kept the center free. You know, you could kind of line up. You can't line up directly over the center, but they really had a big gap between the two.
Okay. A gap.
Big old gap.
And
so what happened was that once they saw that Wanya Thomas as the personal protector was going to go through the middle of the defense and then just, you know, catch the ball on the other side, and then they would be in the clear. But like I said, they fooled Bones Fossil on that. They had the 8-up look. They what they did was at the snap, they dropped Minchie, the wide receiver who plays on special teams. He was on the right side. So what happened, as soon as he dropped, that put him in coverage immediately on Thomas. Thomas makes a catch. You got to give Minchie a lot of credit for a wide receiver to make a tackle like that in space.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, here's a guy that was running routes and catching footballs and all that, and now he makes a big special teams play. But they fooled the Cowboys on that one. They tricked the Cowboys into thinking that they were going to have the middle of the field open, and it really wasn't. They dropped when Minchie dropped. That the play should have been off, but it was too late for that. Cooper Rush's interception. This was one that might have been a mistake by Rush for not throwing the slant earlier in the game to CeeDee Lamb. And, you know, Ferguson, and what I'm, this is, I need to kind of ask some further questions on this, and I'll ask you guys this because we remember the play. But if they're going to try and run the slant with Lamb, and Rush or like I said, early in the game, didn't throw him one. And you could tell that Lamb was kind of distracted by that. And so maybe this was one of those times where it was like, okay, they had Tolbert run in the drag, which would have been an open play. I mean, he's wide open on the play. But here's Rush. He's going to try and fit that slant. This is the question I have, and I need to ask somebody over in the organization. This is right before, Ferguson runs a flat route or going towards the bench. And as he's running the route, it carries his man into the route. The very next play, Ferguson comes out. He's out. He's done for the game.
After the concussion happened.
So you wonder if that he was on the field playing through something, maybe got confused, ran a route that carried.
Oh, that could be.
Because you see on the sidelines, Lunda Wells, the tight end coach, goes up to Ferguson and is kind of like, explain.
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, like,
you okay?
And then he doesn't come back in the game. So I wonder if Ferguson was trying to play through something, ran a route, got confused on the play. It happened to be where he carried the route. It went right into where CeeDee Lamb was running his route, which led to the collision, which led to the interception. So it was kind of it just made me think a little bit that Ferguson didn't come back in the rest of the game after that. Maybe he was trying to play through.
Makes sense.
And unfortunately, but Tolbert was wide open on the shallow cross, and Rush never looked his way. He's probably thinking, I got to get the ball inside to I got to get the ball on the slant here to Lamb, and he tried to throw it in. So we'll see what happens. Turpin's TD, great route by Turpin right off the snap. He's able to escape Okuda into the inside. They gave him a little space. I mentioned this. Rush caught the secondary rotating to single high which put Bullock out of position to make a play on Turpin. Beautiful ball, beautiful protection, ball where it needed to be, and then Turpin was able to.
Like a Troy Aikman ball.
That was pretty, man. That was really, really, really pretty. Aubrey's missed field goal. I went back and watched that. Kind of crazy for him to miss a field goal. It appears that his plant foot arrives in an awkward position, like he's going to plant, and it kind of rolled over on him. And when it rolled, it brought his body to the left, and he yanked the ball. So every other time you watch him, his plant foot hits, and then he's able to get through the ball. This time it kind of caught and rolled, and it caused him to open his hips to where the miss of the field goal. Plant foot.
That's the only way he misses, but he's having these moves right in the final split second before ball striking a little bit too much. I think something psychological is going on in there.
I don't know, man. I just kind of feel like
he almost sprained his ankle on a plant foot on turf, Brian.
I'll tell you what, though. That thing rolled over, and you could see his body kind of lunge to kind of keep him from not doing something more damaging. But that 64-yard field goal he made, plant foot fine, everything, knocked it all the way through.
Was that snap high?
He's a machine.
No, snap was actually
snap
good.
Snap was good?
Yeah, they did a good job. Laces away, everything was fine on that. The steal sack, Hunter just runs right past steal. This is where I think that Rush needed to climb the pocket with a little bit more authority. We've seen, remember last week against Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts, all of a sudden he gets the blitz from Overshown, and he dips his shoulder. He takes the ball, and he moves and, like, dips his shoulder away. Okay, let's go out to Mike McCarthy out at the Star.
David.
Afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon.
David Moore, Dallas Morning News. Especially with these two games coming up pretty quick and what your injury situation is overall, how big of a concern is that? And can you, I know it's still early, but with Jake and your three offensive linemen from last night, kind of where they stand?
Yeah, definitely. We're still kind of working through a couple of these, but, I think Jake will be hard-pressed to be available. Zach Martin, we're still finishing up on there. But we do have hopeful to get some guys back this week. So, that's where we're hoping it balances out.
And I know you always use the determining factor, just physically, if a guy can play, he plays. But when a guy is clearly compromised and you have two games in 4 days like you do coming up, does that factor into the decision?
I would say it's definitely part of the equation, without a doubt. I mean, it's if they're not fully capable of playing this week, you know, then, you know, obviously next week is, you know, I think the question we'll be talking about here when we get to Sunday is more, you know, potentially the guys that are coming back, maybe how much they will, bless you, how much they will play. Because, you know, you just can't bring guys back and expect them to play 50, 60 plays.
Clarence Hill, All City Dallas. Can you just talk about the fight this team continues to show? I mean, even though the scores seem to be lopsided, you know, Jerry talked last night about you haven't lost a team. And I know there were some skirmishes on the field last night. Is that an example of this team still has the passion to play the game?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you got to remember now, this, you know, just like any year, yeah, this thing – this journey starts back in April. So, and these guys have done a lot together. We've done a lot together. We've put a lot into us. And we are, you know, we are frustrated, disappointed where we are. But yeah, this locker room has a tremendous amount of fight. I can't tell you how much I do believe in them. And it is difficult, but we'll continue to fight.
Mike Todd Archer with ESPN. You told us a couple weeks ago that you expected a transition defensively. I can't imagine you thought it would take this long for things to get up to speed. Does that kind of surprise you that the transition has taken this kind of long?
I think there's a lot more to it than just a transition. You know, we have a lot of moving parts on defense. I think the injuries were probably, you know, the biggest setback, you know, coming out of training camp early in the season. So, you know, we do have new guys playing, you know, certain positions, just evident this past game, too. So, you know, and we've had to play certain defenses more this year than we ever had, just because of the way the lineups have laid out.
And then offensively, when that's not gone the way you had hoped that it would go either, do you ever consider, like, giving Schottenheimer a chance to call some of the plays at times, or – rearrange how you guys look at your process?
Haven't considered, don't think like that.
John Machado with The Athletic. Can you just share what maybe your reaction was to knowing that you think the roof's going to be open and then it's not, when finding that all out, and did it have any impact on anything that you did yesterday?
No, I mean, if the roof's open, you go out and you measure the wind. I know there was a potential wind, so we were prepared to assess the you know, the environment, but yeah, we had plenty of time. We're there early, so we have plenty of time to adjust.
And then on the Turpin play, I think it's easy for us on the outside to say, well, how come there aren't more plays like that? Why do you think that maybe Kevontae hasn't been as involved in the offense?
I won't say he's been involved. I think, you know, DeMonte's had a lot of opportunities as far as, you know, play time, and I think he's done a really good job. I mean, if you look at the steps, you know, the jump he's made from last year to this year, I mean, he's able to play all the positions on offense. So I actually feel very good, very good about what he's given us at the receiver position.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. When you're going through times like this, how do you try not to change too much or tinker a little bit, or just stay the course, and because you believe in the process?
Well, I mean, we're going to stay the course. I'm just really, like any year, any week, really the injury reports really drives a lot of our decision, drives a lot of what we can do, what we cannot do. So, and that's kind of what we're working through right now as a staff, you know, trying to get ready for Washington.
Run game, we've talked about it, and saw it, and it looked like you was moving forward. How frustrating is it?
Yeah, we took a step backwards clearly yesterday, so I was disappointed in just the way that laid out. So we need to do a much better job this week.
Saad, he's of The Athletic. Mike, what were your initial impressions about Dan Quinn when you hired him, just on your staff, and then, you know, how did that relationship grow in the ensuing 3 years?
Yeah, just knowing Dan from, you know, across the way, always had a ton of respect for him. It was awesome to have him here in Dallas. He's become a very good friend, and I'm really happy for the success he's having.
And what ways did you see him relate to players? It seems like the players also have a great deal of respect for him.
Yeah, definitely. Dan's does a great job connecting with people. You know, has a great personality. So, yeah, he did a great job for us and is doing a great job now.
Nick Harris for Star Telegram. Getting guys like Josh Butler and Ryan Flannoy starts and ample experience yesterday, is there an intention moving forward to give more youth opportunities like that?
I mean, we've been playing with youth all year, so we're going to do it. Yes. I mean, so if it lays up this way, yeah, they'll have a chance. Hopefully we get Brandon Cooks back this week, so we'll see how that shakes out.
And playing three games in 10 days, does your staff meet just to kind of talk about workload for the guys over the course of the next couple weeks?
Workload for the players?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have a plan. We've been through this before, so we actually had to work ahead for Washington last week, being on a Monday night schedule. So we're into Washington today, and we get the end of the week, then we'll have to, work ahead on the Giants. So, we have a good plan.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, given your familiarity with Dan Quinn, how similar is his defense in Washington to what he ran with you?
It's very similar. I think Joe Witt's done a tremendous job. I mean, he's taken pretty much the system there, and then he's gone in a direction that he believes in. He's been very aggressive with it, and I've been very impressed.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. It's been a tough year for the offensive line in a lot of different ways. With the latest on the injury front, how much more challenging will that be over these next couple of games at least?
I mean, that's part of it. Obviously, Zach is a key. He's a keystone for our offensive line. So, that will be a big one. But, it's just more opportunity for these young players that really have been playing a lot and have been getting a lot of work. So, one of the benefits of our young players is, Zach doesn't practice on Wednesday, so they've been getting those reps. So, yeah, we just gotta get them lined up and put them in position to be successful.
Jazz Monday, Dallas Cowboys Media. With the absence of Dak Prescott and DeMarcus Lawrence, who have you seen step up into a position of leadership, and how effective would you say they've been from a cultural perspective?
I think the biggest thing what you're looking for in guys now is more leadership through action and productivity, and that always happens, particularly with young guys. But we have a segment in our team meetings the day before the game where the team captains have an opportunity to speak. So that's been interesting to see some of the younger guys. And I'll just go off of this week. Cooper Beebe was the offensive captain. So it's good to see these guys let their personalities out and take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. Ed Werder, WFAA. This week, you got Will Greer is now a factor at your quarterback position. What do you see the quarterback role being for?
Cooper Rush will be the starter, and we're putting together a game plan to go win. So we got a package for Trey, and we'll see what happens.
Aaron.
Eric has Lone Star. Just following up on that, I think you said last night that you wanted to get Trey a series. Was that just because of the score? Or
yeah, I just think a lot of young players were playing at the end of the game, and it would have been good to get Trey in there, was the point I was making.
Todd.
You said earlier that some players could return this week. You mentioned Brandon Cooks. Who are some of the other guys you think that you might get back?
Nealon, hopefully he can get back. So Chuma's, practiced last week. So, all those guys are getting close.
Christy Scales, Cowboys Radio on the Fan. Josh Butler moving into the starting lineup after being elevated to the practice squad the previous couple of weeks. What have you shown in practice and in that limited time of elevation that merited moving into the starting lineup?
I mean, JB's been super, super consistent. I think just like anything, has always shown the ability to be a factor on special teams, but just his versatility, and I thought he did a nice job, and came on also having the opportunity to play too, so backing up the nickel and special teams, but those guys are super, super consistent guys, super competitive, so you love it when you see those guys get that chance.
Dave, Mike, talking earlier, we were asking about Zach, and you were talking about working through injury situations, and it's always physically, but do you have any conversations on a guy like Martin or somebody, just the message it sends when a guy is not completely healthy and he's pushing and saying, I want to be in there? You talk about leadership and setting an example for younger players. How do you balance getting a younger player more time and a veteran saying, no, things are going bad, I need to be out there, I need to be part of this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, it's a great example what Zach Martin has shown this year and obviously throughout his career. And I think that's, you know, something that we all notice. But the practice structure is in place. You know, we have a vet select plan for individuals that are, you know, that you got to be smart with them. It is a long year, 17 games, and all those things are factored into it. So the young guys do benefit from it in our practice regimen. And then with that, he's obviously involved in all the meetings, is definitely involved in the you know, walkthroughs and things like that. So, you know, the leadership component is always in place. So I think the systematic approach of how we handle, you know, the Zach Martins has worked out very well for us.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Nealon might be able to get back this week. There was no mention of Deron Bland that I heard in there, Brian.
No,
I know Todd Archer was hunting around looking for some updates.
Yeah, he was.
Does not appear that he's going to be able to make it back. Said Jake Ferguson concussion will be hard-pressed to play on Sunday against Washington. Yeah. So, you know, we're just – I think at this point, punching the clock, getting through it, waiting to see, covering due diligence to see if something unexpected happens. But really, it's going to be a year about development and grinding. And hopefully, you know, you can start to lay the foundation for a reverse of trend, because this thing is heading in the wrong direction in a hurry. And there's no reason to believe that anything's going to change on that throughout the year. Okay, we got to step aside and get caught up on the break that we missed. And we're coming back. We're live at Men's Tea Clinic in Frisco. Go to MensTeaClinic.com, call 972-GO-MENS-TEA, and they're going to get you set up a $25 testosterone test for all patients. Get your baseline, get a plan. Yeah, it's Men's Health Awareness Month, and we're live at Men's Tea Clinic to celebrate 972 or GO-MENS-TEA or MensTeaClinic.com, and we're back with more here in the nation.